This is KJZZ Sun Up. Yeah, your daily news update from here in Phoenix on our state and region. I'm Phil Latzman. A good day to you. We bring you this podcast daily as a digest of Arizona news as reported by our KJZZ news team. Tuesday, it is April the 14th in the year 2026. Let's keep the week going on an up note. At least we'll try and start the week off with a check of the latest information from our region. Well, Arizona Senator Mark Kelly announced on Monday he is joining other congressional Democrats in trying again to force a vote to end the war in Iran. From the Politics Desk, Cameron Sanchez reports.
Democrats have already tried multiple times to rein in President Trump's war against Iran using war powers resolutions. At a press conference on Monday, Kelly urged his Republican colleagues to join the vast majority of Democrats and support ending the conflict.
The American people are poorer and less safe because of this president. He got us into a conflict without a strategic goal, without a plan, without a timeline, without an exit strategy, and at this point, he is just flailing.
If a president initiates military hostilities, the War Powers Resolution of 1973 puts a 60-day limit on the war unless Congress approves an extension. Democrats say they'll introduce resolution after resolution to force Republicans to address the war. Cameron Sanchez, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, Governor Katie Hobbs promised to veto most new bills sent to her by the Arizona legislature until Republican lawmakers make their proposed state budget available to the public. Also from our politics team, here is Wayne Shutsky.
The governor and Republicans who control the state legislature are currently engaged in a budget stalemate centered on Proposition 123, a voter-approved education funding measure that expired last year. Hobbs accused Republicans of failing to negotiate a Prop 123 renewal in good faith before pulling out of budget negotiations last month. And now she says she will veto every bill sent to her desk until Republicans make their own budget plan available to the public. There are only two exceptions, with Hobbs saying she will sign bills dealing with Department of Public Safety funding and first responder death benefits. Both Hobbs and former Republican Governor Doug Ducey used veto threats in the past to prod lawmakers to pass spending bills, with some success. Wayne Shutsky, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, Governor Hobbs vetoed a bill yesterday that aimed to rein in the Attorney General's ability to file public nuisance and consumer fraud lawsuits. As Greg Hawney tells us, the bill would have allowed certain litigants to sue the AG for damages.
Republican Representative Lupe Diaz introduced the bill, saying he wanted to prevent frivolous lawsuits. Democrats argued it could tie the Attorney General's hands, and Governor Hobbs agreed. In a veto letter, Hobbs said she would not curtail a tool that is used to protect Arizonans from bad actors. 2 years ago, AG Chris Mays filed a public lawsuit against Saudi-owned Fondamonte for, quote, excessively pumping groundwater. Diaz's bill would not have affected that ongoing lawsuit. Mays has threatened similar action against a Minnesota company with two large dairies in a rural area where wells are also running dry. Greg Hawney, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Gubernatorial hopeful David Schweikert says he's got no regrets for attacks against his Republican primary opponent, fellow Congressman Andy Biggs. Maricopa County GOP leaders last week condemned Schweikert's ads, which accused Biggs of ties to anti-Semitism and white supremacy. Schweikert says it's fair to talk about Biggs' record ahead of the midterm elections.
I'm sorry it hurts some people's feelings, but have an honest conversation. Heaven forbid we were to lose again or lose the state legislature because we nominated a candidate that's unelectable.
Republicans are hoping to oust incumbent Katie Hobbs, the first Democrat elected as governor of Arizona since Janet Napolitano in 2006. Pima County Superior Court judge dismissed a lawsuit filed by opponents of Project Blue, a developing data center outside of Tucson. The judge ruled that Pima County didn't violate open meeting law, even though county staff with Planning and Zoning Commission did not disclose the purpose of rezoning nearly 300 acres of land in its agenda. Jared Keenan with the Arizona Center for Law and the Public Interest called the ruling disappointing.
It was clear from the judge's questioning that the county attempted and did mislead the public about their true intentions, about what they were getting this rezoning for. It was specifically for a data center, and the county clearly did not tell the public that.
Attorneys for No Desert Data Center Coalition say they plan to file an appeal seeking to invalidate the commission's rezoning vote. Well, should Arizona state lawmakers get a raise? Voters continue to say no. Well, Kathy Ritchie has more on the latest proposed pay hikes that might cross the finish line.
Arizona lawmakers earn $24,000 a year. The job is supposed to be part-time, just 4 months, according to legislative rules. But in recent years, the gig has become more of a full-time job. Lawmakers from both sides have put forth proposals to convince voters. Most have gone nowhere, but two are moving along. One would change the Arizona Constitution to replace voter approval of pay hikes with automatic inflation indexing. Another would set a legislator's salary at 60% of what the governor makes. Right now, Katie Hobbs earns $95,000 a year. So if nothing else changed, that would boost legislative pay to $57,000 a year. Kathy Ritchie, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
The director of ASU's First Amendment Clinic says he is worried about President Trump's threats to prosecute people for sharing protected information. Greg Leslie's comments come as President Trump threatened litigation against people who shared information that a search and rescue mission was underway for a downed airman in Iran. Leslie says Trump's comments can have a chilling effect on journalists.
Anytime you immediately go to the idea that journalists have to be jailed if they don't tell the government who in the government might have leaked information, it's quite disturbing.
The Department of Justice also filed charges against an employee of the Army for reportedly sharing classified documents with a journalist last week. A Sky Harbor spokesperson has confirmed that ICE agents are no longer at the airport. Here's Cameron Sanchez once again.
Sky Harbor spokesperson Monica Hernandez confirmed that ICE agents have now been gone for a week after vacating the airport on April 6th. President Trump sent ICE agents to select airports around the country amid a partial government shutdown that began 2 months ago, when lawmakers failed to agree on a budget for the Department of Homeland Security, which includes the TSA. Many TSA workers quit or called in sick rather than show up to work without pay. Late last month, Trump signed a memo instructing DHS to immediately pay TSA agents. Hernandez says all airport security checkpoints are now open and operating. Cameron Sanchez, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, ASU and University of Arizona researchers are among more than 20 co-authors of a new article in the journal Science about a deadly split in a large group of chimpanzees. Experts say the fission is extremely rare for chimps. Matthew Casey reports.
Researchers have spent decades studying wild chimps living in a Uganda national park. Then the group split in two over several years. U of A professor Jacob Negre is a co-author of the article, which labels the ensuing violence a civil war not seen before.
And that became very clear to us when this split kind of escalated into lethal conflict, when members of one of the new groups began to kill members of the other group.
Around the time of the group split, some of the oldest male chimps died, and the highest-ranking male was overtaken. ASU professor Kevin Langergraber is also a co-author.
These things might have been important, but they've all happened before and no split occurred. What was unusual is that the group had just grown and grown and grown for so long that they got to be the largest chimpanzee group ever known, and that's probably, you know, at the bottom of it in the end.
Chimps and bonobos are humans' closest living relatives. Matthew Casey, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
In sports, basketball, Suns are a win away from making the NBA playoffs. They finished as the seventh seed in the West. They'll host the Portland Trailblazers tonight, a game that'll determine who'll play the Spurs in the first round. Suns head coach Jordan Knott says his team is locked in.
Talked a lot about after the All-Star break, playing meaningful games. Now that's transitioned to a big game Tuesday night. That's exciting. To play 82 games and then have another chance to play a game, that part's exciting. And to do it with this group, it'll be special.
Phoenix wrapped up the regular season with a win in Oklahoma City Sunday to finish a 45-37 record, marking a 9-win improvement over last season. The winner of the Suns Trailblazers game travels to San Antonio to begin a best-of-seven series against the Spurs Sunday. The loser will face the winner of the Clippers-Warriors matchup in a game later this week, so the Suns have two chances. In baseball, the Diamondbacks blew a 6-run lead, lost to the Orioles 9-7 yesterday. Jeremiah Jackson, a grand slam and a solo shot as the Orioles rallied from the deficit, battering Arizona's bullpen. Nolan Arenado had a couple home runs. So did Ketel Marte as the Diamondbacks went up 7-1, but couldn't hold it. Same two teams, middle game of three in Baltimore this evening. And in football, former Cardinals head coach Dave McGinnis has passed away. Coach Mack, as he was known, died Monday. He went 17-40 as Cards head coach from 2000 to 2003. Dave McGinnis was 74. And that does it for this edition of KJZZ Sun Up, Arizona's morning news podcast this Tuesday, April 14th. I'm Phil Latzman. Enjoy the day and the weather today. And we're back at you tomorrow. Talk to you then.